your voice. Father, please would you help us today to be amazed by the Lord Jesus Christ, to rejoice in the gospel, and to be changed as a church as we seek to care for needy people. We ask this for your glory's sake. Amen.
As Steve said, we are in the middle of a year where we are thinking about weakness. And today, we're going to think about one specific outworking of that. That is our ministry to be accessible and welcoming to people with additional needs. Whether that's physical disability or cognitive disability, this isn't something we've decided to do randomly. This is something we've been beginning to work at as a church over the last few years. And it's something we're pretty committed to working on as we move forward. And as we turn to John 9, we see Jesus take notice of a man born blind. He notices this poor blind beggar, someone most people would ignore. And his disciples notice his noticing. They clock that he's noticed this man, and they ask him, why is this man born blind? Is it because of his parents' sin, or is it because of his sin? It's a pretty uncompassionate question on the part of the disciples, isn't it? But it's still a very relevant question. Let me personalize this a little bit more. I brought something along with me. This is Sarah, my wife's, hearing aid. Now, loads of you have met Sarah, and some of you might be surprised to learn that she is deaf. She needs to wear a hearing aid to be able to see. She's partially deaf, but wonderfully she is also able to lip read. So I haven't just stolen this from my wife this morning and left her without any help. But we can personalize the question, can't we? Why is Sarah deaf? Is it because of the sin of my in-laws? Or is it because of my wife's sin? Now, we might not think like this. We might not ask these uncompassionate questions. But we might, as a church, recognize that, you know, people who have disabilities, who live in this sin-stained world, we might recognize that the way we sometimes act suggests that we see them as a lower category of people. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? But the way we act might demean those people. You can imagine a man with sight loss coming along to church. The obstacles are huge. Once he's managed to navigate his way down the path from the lych gate to the front door, he's met with a very slight step. A slight step that most of us wouldn't notice, and indeed wouldn't even be an obstacle to pushing a wheelchair over. But it's enough of a trip hazard for someone with sight loss. The varying light levels between the foyer and the baptistry and the main church mean that he has to walk slow and cautiously, bumping into people who don't always react graciously. Finding a seat is hard because there's no one on the welcome team who will take him all the way to his seat. During the service, he can't join in as the font on the screens and the font in the pew Bibles are just too small. He needs the loo, but he can't read the signs on the wall because they are wooden with wooden lettering. His whole experience could be summed up by the words, "Not welcome." He's unlikely to return. Now, this is a made-up story, but it's not so outlandish that you can't imagine it happening. It's why we're trying so hard here to improve our accessibility. We want to be welcoming to those who need aid in communication. So at the 10:45 service, we've been using Makaton. We've got a whole load of accessible Bibles for people who have some degree of sight loss or dyslexia. We want to improve access with things like adult changing facilities and disabled loos upstairs. We want to exercise patience when things might take longer or services feel different. We are still in the process of becoming more accessible as a church. But this passage is a huge challenge to us all. The first thing we see as we dive into it is disability and the glory of God. That question of the disciples, why is this man blind? Is it because of his parents' sin or because of his sin? Why is Sarah deaf? Is it because of her parents' sin or because of her sin? Is answered by Jesus in an amazing way. Verse 3 says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." See, Jesus does not explain the cause of this man's disability. He does not say that it is because of anyone's sin. He doesn't explain the cause. He explains the purpose. The purpose of that man being born blind was so that the works of God might be displayed in him, so that the glorious, praiseworthy deeds of the Lord might shine forth from him. See, there is a deep connection between disability and God's glory. Let me give you a few examples. Example number one, this man was healed. God's glory was on display in his wonderful works as Jesus puts mud on that man's eyes and sends him off to wash, and his sight is restored. God's glory is displayed in that man's life. Example number two. In our first video in our weakness series, if you can cast your minds all the way back to January, was an interview with Debbie Holcomb, the daughter of Tony and Chris, who has Down syndrome. Now, I have the privilege of teaching on the Sussex Gospel Partnership Ministry Training Course. And one of the sessions I teach is on God's sovereignty and on God's providence, the fact that God works for his glory and our good in all things. And I have never been able to come up with as clear and as simple and as evocative summary of God's sovereignty as Debbie did, when she said, "God knows everyone's birthday." It's so simple, but those four words stirred my heart and left me rejoicing for weeks. God knows everyone's birthday. He knows everything about us. Debbie will be quoted next time I teach at the Sussex Gospel Partnership's Ministry Training Course. Debbie is a sister in Christ who glorified God by speaking words of truth to us in that interview. A third example, Sarah, my wife, born, able to hear, but through accidents in her childhood, is now partially deaf. Sarah is now our minister for accessibility. Praise the Lord that the experiences of feeling isolated and separated from the church family as a result of her deafness has led Sarah to a point where she cares enough about disabled people to head up our accessibility ministry. God glorified through Sarah. And then finally, a fourth example. It should come up on the screen. I'm sorry, I don't have the clicker, Isaac, but there should be a picture of a lady called Johnny Erickson Tada. Johnny is a quadriplegic lady who runs a ministry in America called Johnny and Friends, which resources churches and helps them reach out and care for people with disability. God has been glorified through Johnny's disability, not in spite of her disability. She speaks of God's goodness with grace and integrity because of the position she finds herself in. If we fail to welcome those with disability, if we fail to share the gospel with them, then we are cutting ourselves off from massive blessings. But there is an elephant in the room, and this is our second point: disability and healing. The man in today's passage was healed. Joni Erickson Tada hasn't been healed yet. Sarah, my wife, hasn't been healed yet. Why? Why is this man healed and some of these other people not healed? Well, I think the answer is because our hope is ultimately not in being healed in the here and now. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is in that moment when Jesus returns and puts everything right, when all pain will cease, when all suffering will cease, when everything will be perfect. That's where our hope lies. On that day, Sarah will hear the voice of Jesus with crystal clarity. Praise the Lord. Our blind brothers and sisters will see Jesus face to face. Praise the Lord. The lame will leap. The dumb shout praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord for that day. And you see that switch from present healing to future hope in this passage. Look down at verse 4 if you've got a Bible with you. This is Jesus speaking. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. See, during the daytime, during his earthly ministry, Jesus is going around and he's speaking to people and he's healing the sick, healing the paralyzed man, healing the lady who's bleeding, healing the dead girl, raising her from dead. But the nighttime was coming when that work would cease. His nighttime ministry would be a ministry of dying. As John Piper, the American pastor, puts it, Jesus will turn from a ministry of healing to a ministry of dying. He will turn from the day work of relieving suffering to do the night work of suffering himself. It is because of Jesus' night work, his suffering on the cross for our sins, that our hope isn't in healing now. Our hope is in a perfect future forever with him. Which brings us nicely to our third and final point, disability and the gospel. Disabled people glorify God by displaying the gospel. We are all needy people. Without fail, we are all needy people. Just think back over this weakness series in general and the videos we've had so far this year. We've heard tales of depression and persecution and loss and illness. We've been hit hard by our need for medicine, our need for medical assistance, our need of intervention, our need of one another, our need of help. And we are, without fail, all of us in need of a saviour. We are sinners. We need rescuing from the punishment we deserve to face because of our sin. We need curing from that sin sickness we're all inflicted with. By ourselves, there is nothing we can do about our sin. Neediness is at the very heart of the gospel. And so, as we welcome disabled people into All Saints, there is no division between needy people and strong people, because we are all, without fail, needy people. So when we do Makaton or sign language in a service, don't think of it as silly or distracting. Think of it as a reminder of the gospel. If we install new access ramps or toilets with changing facilities for grown-up children, don't think of it as a waste of money or as an inconvenience. Think of the gospel. If there are widget signs around the building, brightly coloured signs, don't think childish drawings ruining the aesthetic of the building. Think gospel. If our accessibility ministry develops, it might mean that some things take longer, like serving coffee when things are back to normal, or that services feel different or have added noise in them. Don't be impatient. Think gospel. The changes we make as a church should be tangible reminders to us of the gospel. See, I believe with every ounce of my being that as we travel down this path of developing our accessibility ministry, it can only have the effect of making this church more gospel focused and more grace soaked. So let's replay that story from the beginning, but with the church being the accessible All Saints we long to be. You can imagine a man with sight loss wanting to come along to All Saints. The obstacles are still huge, but All Saints works hard to be accessible. Once he's met at the lychgate by a steward who then helps him along the path and shows him where that slight step is so he avoids that trip hazard. The brightly lit foyer merges with a brightly lit baptistry, which merges with a brightly lit main church, giving him confidence as he walks. The few people he does bump into always react graciously. The steward helps him find a seat and offers to bring him a glass of water for the service. During the service, he can use the accessible Bible he was given when he came in, and the words on the screen are big and bold and clear, so he can join in with the service. He needs the loo, and alongside those wooden signs with wooden letterings, there are big, brightly coloured widget signs, which he can read and follow to the loo. His whole experience could be summarised as, "You are welcome here." And so he returns the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and in time he turns to Christ as his Lord and Savior and glorifies God. He blesses the church with his gifting and his unique perspective, and as a monument to the grace of God. That is the kind of accessible church we long to be. Why don't we pray? Father, thank you so much that Jesus noticed this man who so many other people would have walked by. Thank you for his love for that man, for his grace on display towards that man, and for the way you were glorified in the life of that man. Father, please help us to be a church who notices people with additional needs and who work hard to make them feel welcome, to see you glorified in their lives, and to see the gospel make huge impacts. Father, bless us as we walk down this path towards becoming a more and more accessible church. We ask this for your glory's sake. Amen.